Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education, director of Go Teach Global, and author of the book Men Alive. Jim, every introduction I say, Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. What passage of Scripture would you suggest contains the primary teachings of Jesus on how to be conformed, or better yet, transformed to the image of Christ?
That question might get many answers from different scholars, but I believe we agree it is the passage in Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7, what we call today the Sermon on the Mount, which includes the Beatitudes.
Some Bible teachers feel so strongly about these words of Jesus, they construct the majority of their sermons around these chapters in Matthew.
In some Bibles, the words of Jesus are printed in red letters. Some Christians feel so strongly about what Jesus taught, they tend to study only his words and downplay the rest of Scripture. These folks are called red letter Christians. Eventually, their theology gets reduced to just the words that Jesus spoke. Nothing else counts as much. But the truth is, this is an amazing teaching by Jesus and worth examining. Paul, you wrote a booklet called Live the Jesus Way, Following and Living the Teachings of Our Master, a booklet we will offer to our listeners. But first, tell us why it was written.
The booklet contains 30 daily devotionals based on scriptures from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And the parallel Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. These passages are concentrations on the key elements of Jesus' teaching.
I love the way it fits our Men Alive broadcast. Let's look at Jesus' greatest training program, the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 1-2 says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them."
The word beatitude means blessed or blessing. So Jesus is really saying, you will be blessed when you do these things. It is important to remember that each of the eight beatitudes has a twofold nature, a knowing and a doing response. We must not only know them, we must also respond to what we learn from them. Eight times in the Beatitudes it says, "Blessed are." To understand the Beatitudes, we need to know the meaning of those words. "Blessed are" refers to Jesus' evaluation of the kind of person he names in each Beatitude. Jesus was referring to his esteem for that kind of person. His meaning is, "I esteem highly any person who," and then he completes the sentence. He was urging us to have that kind of attitude. His deeper meaning is, "All you who hear me, choose to become like these kind of people." One noted author calls the Beatitudes God's radical reconstruction of the heart. We must never consider that Jesus was promising happy conditions as though he meant, the one who is poor in spirit will feel good and always be joyful.
The first four Beatitudes focus internally. That is, they speak to the heart of the one who wants to obey God. They can be viewed as four stepping stones to becoming an obedient servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are humility, mourning, meekness, and hunger for righteousness. The second four Beatitudes focus on the external behavior of the servant who wants to follow Jesus. They are mercy, purity, peacemaking, and persecution. Each teaching is transformative in nature. It makes sense to call the Beatitudes of Jesus the Beatitudes or being attitudes. Rather than focusing only on what we are to do as our actions, Jesus focuses on how we are to behave in our character. We are called human beings, not human doings.
This teaching has particular relevance where Christians are a minority group under the rule of an Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, or atheistic secular government majority. Restricted, deprived, regarded as second-class citizens, laughed at, despised, often living in fear, many times persecuted, The words of encouragement spoken by Jesus are precious and give fresh hope of another place and time when things will be put right.
Paul, without being an alarmist, that is the coming reality for virtually all Christians. Jesus said in John 16:33, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Man to man, let's do a reality check. I have good news and bad news. First, the bad news. Every man listening to this program is going to die. 100% guaranteed. Wow, does that sound rather severe? It's true. We eventually die. Some will die in their bed. Some will die without their head. The good news is found in these same Beatitudes Jesus is teaching. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 11-12, "God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven." And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way.
You are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham. You can receive a free PDF of our new devotional booklet, Live the Jesus Way, by sending Dr. Jim an email at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com.
Then Jesus contrasts the love of the brethren with the reaction of hatred from the world. "If the world hates you, keep in mind," he said, "that it hated me first, for they do not know the one who sent me." John 15, 18-21. A little further down in the discourse, he says, "In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God." John 16:2b. Jesus was indicating that as he suffered, so would his disciples. Every human being endures some suffering in his lifetime. It may be the physical suffering of sickness or injury. It may be the inner suffering caused by the death of a loved one, rejection by friends, or simply loneliness. Whatever the cause may be, we all seek to avoid it as much as possible.
That may be one reason Christians often avoid the subject of suffering and persecution, although it is clearly presented in the Bible. Some Christians seem to think that since we belong to the Lord, He'll protect us from any and all suffering. But the Scripture makes it very plain that Christians are subject to all the causes of suffering common to men, plus the added persecution that comes with taking a clear stand for Christ. Jesus told his disciples on the night before his crucifixion, "Remember what I told you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." John 15:20.
History tells us what actually happened to Jesus' disciples. Philip was scourged and crucified. Matthew was nailed to the ground with spikes and beheaded. Jude was beaten to death with sticks and clubs. Simon was tortured and crucified. John, the son of Zebedee, was tortured and exiled on Patmos. James, the brother of John, was beheaded. James the Less was pushed from the top of a building. Then his broken body was beaten to death. Andrew, Peter's brother, hung on a cross for 3 days before dying. Bartholomew was beaten and skinned alive before being beheaded. Thomas was speared with a javelin. Peter was crucified, reportedly upside down. Every single one of our Lord's original disciples suffered cruel torture, not for saying Jesus was crucified, but for saying Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples were tortured, vilified, exiled, and executed for their conviction that Jesus Christ is alive and He is Lord. Yet in their obedience to Jesus' instructions, they accomplished establishing His church among the nations of the world. As one author said, the cross-centered message requires cross-bearing messengers. It is very important to remember that when Jesus sent out His disciples on their own to minister, He warned them that he was sending them out as lambs among wolves, Luke 10:3. Sheep are not known for their ability to win a fight against wolves. For these sheep, persecution and suffering was the norm. But Jesus promised to be the great shepherd who would be with his sheep in every experience. Paul, in our Standing Strong Through the Storm book, we teach that sheep do not carry AK-47s. Jesus said he was sending us out into the world like lambs among wolves. Tell us one of the ways Christians react to the teachings of Jesus.
We call the first group the isolationists. These are the lambs that want no contact whatever with the wolves. They basically say, Jesus, you can't really mean I'm supposed to go out there where those vicious wolves are, so I'm just going to stay right here in the middle of this big flock of sheep where it is the safest. I want no contact with any wolves.
Then we have a group of Christians called triumphalists. These are the super sheep on steroids. The reason? Okay, if I have to go out there where the wolves are, I'm going to be prepared to zap the wolves with my theological zapper gun. I will argue and I will debate every wolf I meet until all the wolves agree to leave us sheep alone.
And we know that is not likely to happen.
Exactly. The third group is even more sophisticated. They think, well, if I can't fight wolves, I will just pretend to be one of them. I will look and dress and behave like the wolves. One problem, sheep cannot howl like a wolf. A lamb goes, ba-a-a-a. It does not go, ah-ooh, like a wolf. The wolves know immediately, this is not one of us.
I like the last group, the literalists. These sheep obey Jesus whatever the cost. Jesus said, go make disciples. They go, whatever the cost, right into the midst of the pack of wolves. They know their shepherd walks with them. Sheep have only one form of defense. Stay close to the shepherd.
Let's agree to read the Beatitudes so we can live the way Jesus lived, without fear until we see him face to face. Whenever that day may be, we will look at each of the 8 Beatitudes in future programs.
Don't forget to order your free PDF copy of our new offer, Live the Jesus Way, Following and Living the Teaching of Our Master. Request it at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. Visit our website at goteachglobal.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks, on behalf of Dr. Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to become men alive, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ.